Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. My name is Marcus Speller.
My name is Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Well, hello, everybody. We find you in strange times, of course. We're recording from home, gentlemen, aren't we? We're not in our studio.
Remote recording.
Mm. We are remote recording. We're being responsible.
Yep. We are barricading Football Ramble Daily.
Exactly. We're barricading ourselves in. We've got our tin hats on, and we're trying to make sure that if we have anything, we're not going to spread it around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, of course, at the moment, ladies and gentlemen, you all know that elite football in Britain has been suspended. The Premier League will not return until the very earliest 4th of April, though that seems very unlikely. Of course, the Premier League have said they'll start on 4th of April, subject to conditions at the time. The Football League have suspended fixtures until the 3rd of April, which I'd imagine would be subject to conditions at the time as well. And these decisions were taken by those governing bodies, not the government, of course, because the government actually said matches could go ahead, but the Prem and the Football League have said that. All UEFA competitions, including the Champions League and Europa League, have been postponed. The draws for the next round, set for March the 20th, have also been postponed. England's upcoming internationals with Italy and Denmark are off. So all football is on a big old hiatus. So you may be wondering...
what you're saying is there's not really much to talk about, is there?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the ramble today, not the football ramble, isn't it? Mm. It's fortunate we've got that extra word in there because, I don't know what the other football shows are doing.
I think the football would be a bit of a bland title for a podcast, wouldn't it?
It is.
Football.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've recorded the show where we can't see each other.
Yeah, and it's a little strange, isn't it? It's going to take a little bit of getting used to, but hopefully you can bear with us and we'll do our best.
We'll be all right.
Which will be good. As is well known, absolutely fine.
I assume, Luke, that you're nude.
I am completely nude.
I never thought I would say this, but what are you wearing?
I'm wearing a pair of tracksuit bottoms and a T-shirt. Yeah.
What's on the T-shirt? Oh,
Invincibles, baby.
it's just a plain black T-shirt, Jim. This feels to me a bit more like Pete content, but Pete's not
well,
here.
You know, he's not here, so we've got to pick up the slack, haven't we?
Yeah,
pick up the
Pete's on holiday, no doubt, wearing a full suit.
Yeah, wherever he is.
Exactly.
But I was just going to say, you guys, the really interesting thing in terms of a football sense, because that's what we have to focus on, really, is what the solutions are to get this football played and finished at some point. I don't know what you guys think is, I mean, we know what the options have been put forward are: the idea to scrap the season and start again in August or September or whatever.
Null and void.
Null and void. To delay it until the summer, finish now or do some kind of playoff system. But I was reading on the BBC website that to finish the season, even if it's in the summer, and you think you have to think that it's almost certain that Euro 2020 won't be happening this summer now. So
Italy themselves have asked for them to postpone it, and I'm sure will. That probably will be made tomorrow, that decision, I'd imagine.
Mm. That's the mood music, isn't it? And they're having a meeting tomorrow. So I was reading on the BBC website that to get the season finished, they probably need a 6-week window. Mm. To play the, I think it's 9 or 10 games in the Premier League, depending on which club it is, and then obviously you've got the other domestic competitions around Europe, and then the Champions League and the Europa League. So the problem with that is that are they going to be able to find the time to do it? And if not, that creates obviously a huge problem.
I think the ideal scenario is, bearing in mind that, of course, Euro 2020 is incredibly unlikely to happen, is to finish the season in some way. But obviously, that there are so many variables that we just cannot know the outcomes of before we know whether that time is available or not. So it's a strange one, isn't it? Because there's no obvious solution, because there isn't, you know, you're talking about predicting the future to come up with the most practical solution.
Yeah, the best scenario for everyone would be delay it until the summer. So you scrap the Euros. I know that brings into question player contracts. People are saying a lot of people are out of contract until the 30th of June. They're out of contract on 30th of June and so on and so forth. But I think the ideal situation now, bearing in mind none of this is ideal, would be in a few months' time, everything calms down and then they can play it. But as you say, Jim, you know, who on earth can predict the next sort of couple of months? Because every day now you're getting new news. In fact, sometimes even in a few hours' time, things might be a lot worse and so on. Mm. So to try and do that, you have to have another. So if you say, right, we're going to delay it and we're going to hopefully finish these fixtures in, say, June and July, you've got to have another backup plan in case that doesn't happen.
Because we are consistently hearing that that's when it's likely to be at its peak. So it's very difficult to start making plans for that. One solution.
So for now, in 10 to 14 weeks, it's going to be, that's according to UK medical experts, that's when it will be around the peak of this. Yeah, so that would suggest that the summer solution is perhaps not going to be that viable.
I wonder if there's a solution nobody's really thinking about, which is to actually pause the season, because as we know, the 2022 World Cup in Qatar will take place in the winter. So perhaps we could finish the 2019-20 season in the summer of 2020.
Yeah.
You mean 2022?
2022. Yeah, sorry, that's what I mean.
Okay.
We're just waiting.
You said 2020.
Just stop saying 20, Jim, for crying out loud.
I'd like to. I've lost my marbles already. Got a bit stir crazy at home.
If anyone's going to, you know, draw the ire of all of our listeners and football fans generally, it's probably going to be me. So I guess I better step up and fill that role.
Go on, say it.
I think that given what you guys just said there, most of which I agree with, and given that it's such a moving feast and such a sort of febrile situation, I think it's going to be, and this is at the time of recording, I think it's going to become rapidly obvious that it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to finish this season.
Yeah, null and void, mate. That's what you're saying.
If that is the case, then to me, the least, I'm not going to say the fairest option because that's going to annoy people, the least unfair option, because none of this is perfect and we know that, the least unfair option is to scrap the season entirely and start it again for the new season. So ultimately, you have the 19-20 season is essentially a lost season. Now, what I would do is I would say the individual records, like the goals and the assists, people can keep those.
Yep.
So Jamie Vardy doesn't get 20 Premier League goals knocked off his tally or whatever, because he fairly scored those. And I think the individual line can be drawn there. Mm-hmm. But what you then say to people is, look, no, this is perfect. If you're about to be relegated, then you've had an absolute tut. if you're about to win the title, then I'm sorry about that. Or you're about to be promoted, you know, sorry about that. But this is outside of everyone's control. Mm. I say that speaking as someone who supports a team that, you know, has a decent chance of being promoted this season. And essentially what we do is we do a hard reset and we start again. Now, I understand that's going to annoy a lot of people, but to me, it feels like the cleanest way to do it. And there's also been a precedent for that kind of stuff in a way in other sports. So, for example, in the Tour de France, we've seen years where retrospectively there's been no official winner of the Tour de France because there's been issues around doping and all the rest of it. Now, of course, this is a different situation, but the principle to me is similar. I think that is the cleanest way of doing it. And because you can point to the idea that it's no one's fault, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to get into a situation where if clubs start to be litigious over it, you might have to say, well, I'm sorry, but if you want to litigate for this, understanding that everyone's in the same boat and you want to be, you know, treat yourself as exceptional in these circumstances, we can't stop you doing that, but you won't be admitted to compete in the league next season. You won't be given a license to compete in whatever division you're in next season, and almost call their bluff. To me, at the time of recording, that seems like the cleanest way of doing it.
You know, Kenny Dalglish has been saying about that, Luke Moore, is that it'd be totally out of order if it was declared null and void. So you're going to get the ire of Kenny Dalglish, mate.
But Jurgen Klopp is saying different to that, right?
Yeah. So let's take Liverpool. They're the obvious example, of course. Kenny Dalglish says it would be totally out of order if the season was declared null and void because of the obvious. Jurgen Klopp said, I don't think this is a moment where the thoughts of a football manager should be important. Of course, we don't want to play in front of empty stadiums and we don't want games or competition suspended. But if doing so helps one individual stay healthy, we do it, no questions asked. So Klopp is being his usual kind of, I suppose, a decent
self. Yeah,
exactly. Whereas compare that to Neil Lennon and Celtic, north of the border, if I may. Neil Lennon said that the title should be given to Celtic as they're 13 points clear. He said, we have played over 30 games. That's well over two-thirds of the season. So we should be declared champions. And then he said, it should go on the average points total, which would make us clear champions, and rightly so. I mean, is the average points total, is that just not the league?
Is he talking about like overall time or something? That is a take, isn't it? That is a hell of a take. Not the time, Neil.
Absolutely not the time. Average point system. I mean, again, we've never got to the end of a league season where, I don't know, a side has won the league and then the side who finished third went, well, actually, if you look at the popular point system, we actually won the league. You know, it's none of that, is there? So no. I don't know what he's saying. Scott Brown said, if it ends, it stays as it is, which I love it. That Celtic are really trying to double down.
That sounds like a threat, doesn't it?
Whereas, of course, null and void would certainly help the magnificent Gorgie boys escape relegation. So this is not all
bad. So you're
all
for that one, then, presumably.
But going back to England, though, Liverpool is the sort of the thing, isn't it, that they are so close to the league title. Now, had they have already won the title, if it was mathematically impossible for anybody else to win it, then I could see an argument of saying, all right, come on, just give them the trophy or something. But that's not the case.
Yeah.
Just because Liverpool haven't won the league for ages and they are well ahead, I just find it, you know, to try and make special arrangements. If you haven't, okay, we'll give Liverpool the title, but Norwich, you're not going to go down. To me, you can't have bits of the league that finish and other parts of the, you know, of the foot of the table, they don't finish. Teams that are going for Champions League places and teams that are trying to avoid relegation, if you say, all right, okay, you're grand, you know, Chelsea, you finish in fourth or whatever. But you have to treat the league as one. It either finishes or it's delayed. And I really appreciate the frustration of those Liverpool fans because it is deeply unfair. We know they're going to win the league. I totally get that. But as you say, Luke, this has come from out of nowhere. Nobody could have predicted this. It is unprecedented. It is extremely strange, to say the least, in just a footballing sense. It's extremely worrying in all other senses, of course. And also, if England take one approach, do Spain and Italy, where the title races are still very much on, you know, what do they do? They can't suddenly go, who's top of Serie A? Is it Juventus currently or whatever, by a point or two, whatever? You can't say, oh, well, we'll give them the title. It's just, it's not fair. And even with Celtic as well, they still, Celtic will win the league if it's played out normally. But, you know, Rangers have got a game in hand and they play Celtic twice. You know, they could cut the lead down to say 4 points. It's extremely unlikely. I totally get that. But that's football, isn't it? You can have twists and turns. So to me, just saying, yeah, well, wherever we've all finished, then that's that done. I just think that is not an option.
I feel like, as unfortunate as it is, you're absolutely right. Just because it's, you know, Liverpool have been waiting for 30 years, that shouldn't come into the thinking of it. And also, you got a spare of thought for Leeds as well. I mean, it's the two most unfortunate clubs, really, to be in those positions. But I feel for the integrity of the league, really, I don't think you can give anyone a title when they've not mathematically won it. And the circumstances are really, really unfortunate. And as you say, of course, they're going to win it. But you know, I feel strongly that someone has to win it for it to be declared won. I think this is just an incredibly unfortunate set of circumstances, and it may be that, as Luke says, the least unfair thing to do to just declare it as a strange season where there wasn't a winner because of a global pandemic.
Yeah. I like the idea of it being officially declared a, in quotes, strange season. But the reason I kicked this all off by suggesting what I suggested is, I think, has been brilliantly displayed and exampled by both of you guys there. If you do a bit of a thought exercise, you're welcome. I'm only complimenting you because I'm not in the same room.
Yeah, right enough. Yeah, yeah.
if you do a little thought exercise of any of the other what on paper look like viable options to how we do this, it automatically very, very quickly becomes very, very complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because you start, I mean, one thing that hasn't even been mentioned, by the way, is that in the Premier League, the teams haven't even played the same amount of games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that causes a huge problem as well. So I don't think it's right. I can put myself in a position, if I was a Liverpool fan, so this is grossly unfair.
Yeah.
But ultimately, this is not something that's come about because of football, yeah, because of what anyone has done in the game.
It's gutting, it's not unfair. Exactly.
So to me, it feels a bit like they are... Here's the problem, though, and this is a really important point, I think. Unfortunately, I can see it happening where the footballing powers that be will try and fudge this, and they'll end up pleasing no one.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if the Premier League and the Football League get together with the FA as well and say, look, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to do what they, and they decide to do what I suggested earlier, and the way that can work is they can report into UEFA and say, this is how these are the teams we want to qualify for the European spots for effectively next season, and it's just the same four or six or seven, whatever, yeah, if you include the Europa League, as it was last year, and off we go. They can do that, providing the Champions League follows suit. Any other solution, when you start dishing out trophies because you think, you know, in a subjective viewpoint, and it may even be a subjective viewpoint that's shared by 99.9% of the population, i.e. Liverpool are going to win the title, it is still a subjective viewpoint.
Mm. Yeah,
whether Liverpool fans like it or not, they haven't currently won the title.
No.
And that has to be respected. We have to. It's a ridiculous chain of events. Mm. It's absolutely scandalous. Mm. I completely agree. Mm. If they're not given the title, but here we are. We are where we are.
Yeah.
If this had happened 2 weeks' time, they would have had it, but it hasn't.
Yeah. Mm.
So we have to respect that situation as it currently stands.
Totally. That's why I respect, you know, what Klopp is saying. You know, he's staying level headed and sort of unemotional, certainly in his comments. Of course he wants the league title. Like we say, they've been so, so good, and it is deeply unfair for them to have... Not unfair, it's deeply frustrating and, as I say, gutting. Because even for me as a neutral, I don't support Liverpool. I don't particularly have a team that I want to win the league. I didn't at the start of the season. It would have been great if Leicester had done it again, but realistically...
And they were on the verge, of course.
For so long, they were on the verge. you know, and it's just as well they're not, you know, 20 points clear or whatever right now, because that would have been...
Let's not be talking about teams on the verge of the title, mate. It's very, very bad taste by you.
But with Liverpool, I think it would be a great, great shame if this side, who have won so many games and only lost once and drawn once all season, I want to see how many points they can get this season. I want this team to be rewarded for the great work that they've done. As a neutral, I want to see that. I don't want them to not win the league. I don't want this bloody virus to ruin football and to deny them. But it looks like it's going to happen. And as you say, chaps, you can't just go, oh, well, because of that emotional argument, because of how we feel, therefore we'll give you the league title. I'm sorry, it's a pisser. But you just can't. You can't hand out trophies for people who haven't won them yet.
No.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate. I mean, one of the options being looked at was the games being played behind closed doors. But that also looks like it's an absolute non-starter as well at this point.
Why do you think that, Jim? Because I think that I think that is the only other solution.
It's likely to sort of come back in future?
Well, I think playing I think playing games behind closed doors. We saw a couple of games in Italy, was it, where they did that, and Manchester United away in the Europa League. Was that behind closed doors? Or,
yes, it was.
Yeah, it was.
And
yeah,
what a goal in that from Odio Nigalo, who I particularly feel for as well. He's, you know, he's got his dream move, and then, you know, there's all this uncertainty about everything.
Well, he's just a few short goals away from overtaking Alexis Sanchez's goal scoring record at Man United.
Did you see his goal in that game?
It was an absolute beauty.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. Yeah, it was your bio ref. If you've not seen it and you're craving football, check out the highlights. They're on YouTube of Man United against Lask. His Odion Ighalo had took sort of three touches in the air before just smacking it home. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But yeah, the reason I say that, Marcus, is simply because of the amount of footballers and football staff who've come down with a virus. And obviously some games were still played behind closed doors, and clearly, you know, it's a very, very contagious thing. So I wonder if it would be safe to even play games behind closed doors, because it still involves a gathering of a lot of people to have a stadium open and have two squads of footballers together.
Yeah, quite possibly.
I don't think it's an option, personally. I don't think it's an option.
Well, I wonder in a few months' time if nothing's better, but maybe the squad... I don't know. I'm just saying that in a few months' time, if we get to the summer, it wouldn't hugely surprise me if they went, right, we want to get this done. If all the clubs said, we want to get this done, we don't want it to be declared null and void, because I believe the clubs will have a say in this, then...
Well, if they can get that window that we talked about, then I'm sure they'll make every effort to try and complete it. Because another thing that's we haven't mentioned, which is really important, is how much the football community, and I'm just speaking about this country because I don't have the knowledge about what's happening in the other countries, but is that they need to rally around, because there are going to be several football league clubs who are going to be in real big trouble financially.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
With
yeah.
the wage bills, the expenses and the overheads they've got, with no match day revenue at all. Now, I don't quite know the finances of the top clubs and the Premier League, but they need to understand that football is part of an ecosystem. And in the same way that in the animal kingdom, everything relates to everything else. And if you lose all the bugs and the beetles and stuff and whatever it is. I'm not an evolutionary biologist, but you know what I mean. Then it affects everything else. If there's no sort of bottom level, or to use a less disrespectful term, sort of grassroots level of football, because all those clubs have gone out of business in the Football League and below, or a big proportion of them have, many of whom are in a parlous financial state anyway, then that's a really big problem. And there needs to be measures taken to make sure that those football clubs are protected, because we've already seen, even before this virus came along, teams like Bury, teams like Bolton, who have had big trouble. And that's a real concern of mine as someone who's a football fan generally, that people aren't going to have a club to support after this if it's not taken care of responsibly.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. I mean, of course, wider society, the economic situation is very dire, but in a football sense, flipping heck, you know, when you start thinking about that, actually... people kind of squabbling over, oh, we should be given that trophy or maybe not. It's kind of like, look, guys, there's a bigger picture here, and maybe have a little...
And we have to focus on the football, because that's our job, right? We can't worry about the other stuff, because people will go to other more responsible outlets for their proper, true information.
Yeah, you'd very much...
proper, true information.
Well. That's football as well.
Oh, dear.
Roll up, get your proper, true information.
In this strange season.
Yeah. From Luke's more study.
Season declared strange.
It is a bit strange. I was sat in my spare room.
Yeah. Do you see Karen Brady believes the season should be declared null and void? And I thought to myself, Karen, you should be thinking, no, we should finish on the same points total now.
Yeah. Marcus, you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, in these strange times, some things just remain the same, don't they?
Oh, what did you think of Kenny Dalglish? He'd be totally out of order.
I think it's very short-sighted, and I think it's a little crass, actually.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah, I would probably go along with that, yeah.
But would you give Celtic the title? Because Neil Lennon thinks they
if Scott,
be
if
I know you wouldn't.
If I was in a room, if I was the person...
Whatever the circumstances.
If I was the person who had to make the decision, and I was alone in a room with Scott Brown, who was telling me that Celtic had to win the title, Celtic would win the title.
Really? Stays as it is. Other than that, no. What if you were having a conversation with him where you were both remotely talking to each other like we are now?
Oh, he'd be braver.
I don't know. I'd worry he could headbutt me down the internet.
Well, there's a thought, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a thought that we'll end the first half of the Football Ramble on. We'll be back in just a moment with more Red Hot Ramble chat.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Now it's time for emails with Jimmy C.
Hey everyone, thank you for the emails you've been sending in. Obviously, it's going to be really important as we are in our homes, in our improvised home recording forts, as I am. So I'm going to start off. Jake from Japan has been in touch in an attempt to clear his name. Hey gents, Jake from Japan here. The call to get back in touch couldn't go unanswered. Firstly, we have to thank Seth for holding the world to high standards of journalistic integrity, much needed nowadays. Second, I have to share that I did indeed cite the source for where Luke's diary had been adapted in my last email, screenshot below. And indeed, the screenshot is below and he did cite the source. Whether Pete omitted it for brevity's sake, comedic delivery purposes, or because he felt jilted not to have been written into the diary himself, we may never know. Lastly, Seth, to have recognised the origin of those lines straight off requires me to pass along the words of wisdom I received from Luke Moore. I think you need to assess some of your life decisions. Cheers all. You're more perfect to me today than you've ever been. That's from Jake from Japan.
I say that because that's what my wife always says to me.
Yeah.
I love it when certain email threads, and as Jim rightly points out, we are going to be hugely reliant on emails, let's be honest, about any subject between now and whenever. But I like it when the email section descends into essentially the Football Ramble being a vehicle for two people to have an argument.
Yeah,
the best one was just email each other.
The Trebuchet chat from years ago.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Absolutely.
The Trebuchet chat when we had a big, long email thread
for
weeks about medieval weaponry. And if you're a newer listener to the show and you haven't listened to that, go back and find it. I don't know when it was, a couple of years ago. That was amazing because do you guys remember we did a live event once?
We did.
And one of
Birmingham.
The medieval weaponry chat guys was there afterwards and his other mate... or the other guy was also there but had gone home.
Yes.
So one of them contacted them and made him run all the way back to the venue so they could carry on their debate in person.
It was in Birmingham. It was a Birmingham live show from...
I've never been so proud. And by proud, I do mean depressed.
Yeah. Maybe 2015 or 2016, something like that.
I think we need to assess some of our life decisions.
It's nice when two historians go at it through the Football Ramble, as you say.
Yeah. So genuinely, if you have got any beef with someone that you know listens to the show, it's show@footballrambledaily.com. So you ready for another one? You ready for another,
Jim,
one down the pipe?
It's all yours, baby.
Okay. Hi, guys. Seeing as you'll be looking for content and a big part of the show will be how to squeeze the games back in, may I put forward a few suggestions? Being a stickler for completeness, I would hate to see the season written off. If the hiatus doesn't last too long, the obvious suggestion would be to postpone the Euros, stick the fixtures in at the back end of the season and start season 20/21 later. Failing that, perhaps the clubs could take a small squad of players and field them one-on-one against a neutral goalkeeper in a game of one- or two-man cuppies to decide the remaining fixtures. Somewhere neutral like the NEC or a decent leisure centre with a sports hall, they could flip a coin to decide who kicks off at one end of a small-sided pitch, etc. That's from Alan Marples. Now, obviously, we've got a lot of suggestions as to how to end the season. Silly suggestions, but we're all for them, so do send them in. I've got an idea, right, which is that there are 9 fixtures left, right? Wow. So... why don't we do one round of fixtures per season over the next decade?
Right.
And then in 10 years' time, we have a champion of this season.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, it's an idea. Did you guys see that...
it's an idea.
Did you see that Sevilla versus Betis put one player each up against each other on FIFA?
Oh, did
no,
they?
That's great.
They were supposed to play each other yesterday.
Wow.
And so their Twitter. I mean, I'm already a little bit bored of the wackiness that football clubs are doing on Twitter.
Yeah.
But this is quite good because they put a player up each and they played each other on FIFA. I didn't see how it turned out, but it was very interesting.
So what was that guy's idea? It's basically he's saying a game of some people would call it World Cup doubles. Luke Moore, I believe you called it Knockout Wembley.
Yeah,
is that what
Knockout Wembley?
Yeah, is that what he's suggesting?
Yeah, that's effectively what he's suggesting, but in some way massive, like the Birmingham NEC, which I believe is where Gladiators was filmed. So maybe they could have the same sort of music as well. Make it a real sort of Saturday night ITV thing, although obviously ITV would never have the rights.
Yeah, I do you know what? I used to love doubles. Whenever we play up the park,
everyone would say, oh, should we have a game? No, doubles. Doubles is always so much better than...
I think it's much better. I think it's so much more.
You can all pretend that you're the SAS, Sutton and Shearer, for younger listeners, or just, you know, any sort of strike partnership.
I forgot
about that. Did you used to have little rules as well, that you had to have a certain amount of touches and you couldn't shoot from a certain distance and everything?
I can't remember, to be honest. I was just happy to be there.
Yeah. Do you remember the RAC, Roy and Collymore?
Oh, dear.
No.
I just remember that one. That is nowhere near as impressive, either as an acronym, as a strike partnership, or even in terms of what the real acronyms mean. Just don't do it.
If it fails in that comparison and every... Honestly, they were two good players for that Nottingham Forest.
They weren't as good as Sutton and Shearer, though, were they?
I'm not saying they were, but they were good players and they deserved their...
Well, I'm saying they weren't.
Marcus, did you not used to have a rule where you used to have to put a little marker out and you couldn't shoot inside that
marker?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, we did that, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Was that the emails done? Or have you
got some more. I've got a few here. I'm just going to go with one last one. And this feels like it's from another time, and it's from like 3 days ago. Everyone's talking about an injury crisis at Spurs, yet at Man United, they've been missing Pogba most of the year, Bailly most of the year, and Rashford and Martial for large sections of time with nobody saying a peep. Have a great day, Colin Widders. And yeah. It's a fair point, but doesn't that feel like it was just from 6 months ago?
10 years
rather
ago.
Than 2 days
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
Really incredible, isn't it?
Do you know what I love? I love it when Man United fans get in touch and go, no one's talking about Man United. Really?
Yeah. No, we're all laughing at you.
Generally. In my experience, they're a team who I talked about quite a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Should have come to the live shows, mate. We'd have right. I'll laugh at you a lot.
Actually, as well, just as things were picking up for Man United, now it all goes on hold.
You know how Manchester City fans are always going on about how everyone's against them? Do you think if the season was declared null and void, they would finally maybe sort of put some of that to bed? Because obviously Liverpool would be the ones who would be mugged off. What do you think, Man City?
No, yeah, I don't know that they would. I think that's going to carry on.
Yeah, true.
So a lot of you have been in touch to ask if we'll still be putting out shows, and of course we will. And a lot of you have also asked what we're going to talk about if there's no football. And given how little we talk about football anyway, we think we'll be okay, but we'd still like to hear from you on exactly that. So what would you like to hear about? What would you like to know about us and our experiences if need be? Is there anything in particular you would like us to do or to talk about? Feel free to be silly, to be creative, just keep it short and simple and don't do any coronavirus pun 11s because we've had loads. And we're not going to read them. Tell us what you're doing to get by without watching football, to sort of plug that gap. And it doesn't even necessarily need to be about football. If you need some help with your love life, or you've got some trebuchet related beef that's been lingering for years, do get in touch. Let us know what you've been up to. So yeah, to do that, obviously it's show@footballrambledaily.com.
All right, should we have a Betway update?
Yes, please.
Far away.
So despite, as Jim rightly said earlier, it feels about 6 months ago, it was only the preview show last week where we selected our four to score selections. Of course, every week we do a Betway four to score where we select the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected games. And if you're correct, of course, you can win up to £75,000. So I know what you're all thinking, oh, it's pointless, but it's not, because although Pete picked Olivier Giroud to score first in Aston Villa v Chelsea, I picked Ruben Neves for West Ham v Wolves, and Marcus picked Anthony Martial for Spurs v Man United. And of course, none of those happened. Technically speaking, in Newcastle v Sheffield United, there was no goal scorer, and Jim Campbell picked no goal scorer.
Wow.
So yet again, Jim.
Go on, Jimmy.
You have shown yourself to be the pick of the bunch.
Jim Stradamus. So
yeah, so, I mean, it doesn't count, but I mean, you get a moral victory there.
Well, I think it should count, personally. Ask Kenny Dalglish. Yeah, okay. What we should do.
But you don't get anything for one out of four anyway.
No,
so
you
it's
don't.
A moral
you
victory. Four to score entries free. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. Of course, there is no football at the moment. But when it comes back, I'm sure Betway will be up and running again.
Yeah. That's out of order not to give Jim credit there.
Thanks, mate.
I did give him a bit. I said it was a moral victory, which is better than the real thing, as we all know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It stays as it is. Jim was right. Okay. Now, in these troubled times, I think we should go to Newcastle United for a moment.
That's always a laugh.
Stevie Bruce said that Newcastle had prepared for fixture suspension 4 weeks ago. Was that why you're not scoring any goals, Steve? Don't worry, lads. None of this is going to count anyway. So might as well.
Save your legs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but not you, Joe Linton.
Yeah, so apparently they were prepared. Brucey can spot danger a mile off. And when he was talking about this in the sort of little presser or whatever, he was flanked by hand sanitizers, which was quite good. So I quite like that. But he said every player
sends the right message.
I think it does. Mm. Every player was given a personal training program to be undertaken in private, and the training ground underwent frequent fumigation procedures. So yeah.
Did you guys see Sergio Ramos?
Oh, and he's on the treadmill.
No, what?
On the elliptical treadmill. What's he been doing? My goodness me. Look, it was going to break. He was running so fast.
He looked beautiful, though, didn't he?
He still managed to get himself sent off the treadmill.
I don't know, maybe I'm just alone here, but one can forget, because of his shithousery and red cards, you can forget what a handsome man he can be.
Oh, yeah, he had his top off as well. It looked great.
Of course he did. Right, he did.
There was talk a while back, this is years ago now. Do you remember that story that came out? I think it was still when we were doing the ramble, but it was a good few years ago, that Frank Lampard ran the treadmill so hard that he broke it at a hotel on holiday.
Wow.
Now, that is exactly the kind of story, Nooster, I'd be seeding out if I was a professional athlete to get into the papers. Yeah, it makes definitely. Me sound really good. Mm, yeah. But, I mean, it does make you realise. When I saw Sergio Ramos doing that, I thought, oh, Jesus, they are obviously such athletes. It's amazing
of course.
To watch.
Yeah, it's crazy. Are we sure that he didn't just smash up the treadmill, though? And claim...
Frank?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like the sort of thing Frank would do, but we don't know the man.
Nah, he's calm, isn't he? He knows what he's...
Lampard's not going to do that.
He's a calm guy.
No, but if the story gets out, it makes you look really good, doesn't it? Oh, I'm so strong, I smashed a treadmill. It sounds like a kid that lies at school. Oh, my uncle's got a shark in his pond. I know,
Jim, Jim, I once was on the treadmill and I outrun it. It ran out of belt.
Yeah?
That's what
happened. I've got a girlfriend that goes to another school. You wouldn't know.
Oh, really? Yeah. I do actually. Do you remember Beat the Bleep? Did you guys have the bleep test at school?
Yeah. We never called it Beat the Bleep. That's what we called it.
That's what we called it. Or maybe it was called both, and I just remember called it that myself because of comic relief. But I remember there was a kid at our school.
Is that your teacher trying to get you to do the bleep test but make it sound fun? Right, kids, now it's time for Beat the Bleep.
You've got to do something, haven't you? Now it's time for the consistently worst part of the year. it is horrible, that test. If you've not done it, it's a thing we have in schools in Britain where you run up and down a sports hall and there's a beep that comes out of a stereo or whatever, and it gets gradually faster, and you have to make up the time, and it's horrible. And there was a kid at my school, and he went out after like the second one, you know, the one that's like a minute long, and I was just he was just sat there just enjoying himself for the rest of the time, and I looked at him and I thought, you know what, your lack of shame has meant you're having a lovely time here. I'm impressed.
You can't do that if you're a professional footballer,
though. You really can't. No
I remember, I can't remember who it was I interviewed for Ramble Meets, I forget who it was now, but they told me when you got back for pre-season training, he did the bleep test. Mm. If you couldn't pass the whole thing, you were kind of taking the piss out of a little bit as a fat bastard.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I only realised it ended at school when someone actually managed to beat it. I didn't realise it was
kind of fairly straightforward for these top athlete chaps.
That's fair enough, eh?
Not for me, it isn't. Although I'll be so bored in about 3 weeks' time, I will be trying it, I expect.
Well, can we go back to the northeast of England for a brief moment, if that's all right? Because obviously Newcastle's game didn't go ahead on the weekend. But we should point out that just down the road at South Shields, their game did go ahead. They played FC United of Manchester, and they had a record crowd of 3,274 there. Because Newcastle, I think, were at home to Sheffield United, I think you mentioned earlier. And... there's one or two
due to be, yeah.
Yeah, so I think there was like one or two Sheffield United fans who'd already like booked the trips, and they thought, oh, well, we might as well just go up or whatever. And I think maybe Swansea were playing Middlesbrough, so they were up there. So a couple of the fans went to that game. But it's a record league crowd for the club, 3,274. And it was the second highest in Western Europe on Saturday, behind the 4,942 at Notts County.
That's incredible. But I think that's obviously going to be... that's going to stand for a good while now, because I'm pretty sure that the general advice is that mass gatherings are kind of a bad idea these
days.
Right, and they're going to be officially probably banned at some point, aren't they? So that's going to stand for a good while now. It's a real shame, because there was a period of time, wasn't there? So I did a radio show on Friday night. We had no football to preview apart from the National League. And I did have a little period of time where I was thinking, oh, well, maybe this will be good for these non-league clubs. But of course, it then became pretty apparent that it was kind of irresponsible to be in big crowds of people.
That's right.
And it was probably going to be legislated against at some point. So they're not going to actually benefit from it either. I think everything's going to be stopped. So good for them for a small amount of time, but going forward, I don't think it's going to be repeated.
Well, it's a shame for South Shields, because they won 5-3, and it was first v second in the Northern Premier League, and South Shields are now 12 points clear at the top. So probably should just give them the title, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Another satirical dig by Marcus Spelling, who hates Kenny Dalglish and hates Glasgow Celtic.
And Liverpool.
I don't hate Liverpool or Kenny Dalglish.
He wants Liverpool to have all of their titles taken away, don't you, Marcus?
What? Where's that come from? Well, of course, in the absence of football, some football clubs were stepping up on social media, Luke, and I think you alluded to this earlier. Yeah. Watford simulated their match with Leicester on Football Manager, ended 1-1 with Watford down to 10 men, so...
I don't mind that so much. That's quite interesting.
What about Southampton and Manchester City? Their two official club accounts on Twitter were playing a game of noughts and crosses, which ended in a stalemate.
Luke it's just wacky bullshit, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I completely agree with it. Also, as well, you know, I might risk the ire of Man City fans here, and I know that it's not it's a complicated organisation, but obviously they do a lot to put for PR, don't they? They put a lot into looking good and doing stuff on social media, and obviously there's the Amazon documentary and things like
Association with Southampton. Jesus, that's not gonna make
it. Well, Jimmy, you have to try and make yourself look good. When where you get your money from is extremely questionable, shall we
well,
say?
Well, indeed, Marcus, indeed. And I find it increasingly distasteful in light of the Champions League ban in particular. So that's my two cents. Don't at me.
Mm. What? So you're annoyed that they're playing noughts and crosses because of the Champions League ban?
Does that count as part of the ban?
Yes, Marcus. Actually, that is a strange way of putting at it. But as we know, I'm all into the strangeness at the moment. It's not that I'm annoyed by it. It's that I find it when City try and be sort of warm and friendly. And again, you know, this has nothing to do with the players, the staff, the fans, but the organisation that own them is obviously where it comes from. It's all a very big PR thing. And I can't get on board with them being a bit cute on Twitter.
But Jim, earlier you said you hated the fans as well.
Oh, yeah, but that was off air.
I'm sorry, mate. I've stitched you up there.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, do you want to have? Do you want to round off this week's show by having a bit of Luke's game?
Can I just say about?
No, you can't Google it. No cheating.
Can I just? Oh yeah, we can cheat. Can I just say about what's happening at Leighton Orient?
Because
they're starting up a FIFA 20 tournament, and they need 60 other pro clubs to get involved. But Crystal Palace have signed up, and they've put forward Andros Townsend.
Ooh,
to play.
Might as well get him doing something.
Well, he's only scored one goal this season. He needs another five, so I'm sure they will count Mr. Donaldson.
Yeah, nice one. Pete's looking to defend himself, so I'm all for that. If he's going to fucking go on holiday, that's fine. You can have that, mate.
Yeah.
Knowing Andros, though, he won't score any.
Before we go to Luke's game, there was a little bit of football played in Brazil, wasn't there? Did you see the game at the Maracanã?
There was indeed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it's just great as well. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but basically it's an empty stadium. And what were the teams? It was a good game as well, yeah. So
it was Flamengo and Portuguesa, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah. So a big game, obviously, as you'd expect, because Flamengo are involved. And there's no one in the stadium but the commentator. He doesn't need anyone in the stadium because he can bring his own atmosphere. It's just everything you would expect from a Brazilian commentator, the proper goal stuff going on for ages and ages and ages. Right. We'll put it in the synopsis. Check it out. It might cheer you up.
Yeah, when you say it's a big, big game, I mean, it's a state championship final and it's played...
That's a big stadium, I said.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's just a big stadium to have it empty, isn't it?
I went to a state championship final once in Brazil. It was the 2006 edition, and it's quite convoluted how they do the tournament. But I went to see two games there, and I think it's the kind of... It was almost like the third place match, I'm guessing, but forgive me if that's wrong. And there was about 15,000 there, and it had sort of fairly newly been done up, although the bottom tier was still in its works. So even with 15,000 in that stadium, in the same way last year when I went to the Azteca Stadium in Mexico City, and again, there was about 15,000 people in the stadium, it just felt completely empty. However, I was very entertained, and I think I've mentioned this before on the Ramble, that the other side of the stadium, there was a bloke who was dressed up in full Batman gear. And I didn't really realize this because he was just sort of sat down and then suddenly he like opened up the wings and then just started charging around on the other side of the stadium. It was absolutely magnificent while everyone's getting drunk on Skull Lager. For those football fans in Scotland from the late 80s, remember the Skull Cup, which was the old League Cup.
Yeah.
But we
I
did
remember
see,
Skull.
Yeah, I remember it too.
It lives on in Brazil. So
that is odd to know.
Very odd indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let us play Luke's game.
Now it's time for Luke's game.
Yeah, it is indeed my game where I give you guys a player and you bid on how many of the clubs you can name. If you name the amount you say you're going to name, you get the point. If you take a a club, or you make a wrong move, or you say the wrong club, or you can't name them, the other player gets the point. Marcus, you won 4-1 last time, I believe.
Very convincing.
So Jim gets to go first this time.
Oh, good.
And Jim Campbell, the first player in Luke's game, is Yaya Toure.
Yaya Toure, okay.
And he's played for a total of 7 clubs.
Cool, blind.
7 different clubs.
7, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop Googling.
I'm not Googling.
Yeah.
I am.
I can definitely think of 4. Where did he go off? I'm going to go 4.
Okay, Marcus?
I'll ask Jim to name them.
Okay, Jim, name one at a time, because obviously we're doing this remotely, so you need to give me a bit of time. Mm-hmm. Do them one at a time, and I'll let you know if you're correct or not.
Beveren.
That is very good. How'd you get that?
Because they
He's
were
Googled.
Arsenal feeder club at the time.
He's Googled.
And okay. He and Aboué were on trial at Arsenal, and incredibly, they didn't take Yaya Toure.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, Olympiacos.
Correct.
Ah, well played.
Barcelona.
Yeah.
Man City. Ooh.
Correct. That is 4.
Do you know what? Fair play to you there, Jim.
To you.
Can you name who were the other 3, Luke?
Yeah, I'll list them out to you. Beveren is right. Metalurg Donetsk is where he went after that. Wow. He went to Olympiacos after that. Then Monaco. Then Barcelona. Manchester City. Back to Olympiacos. And he's currently playing occasionally for Qingdao Huanghai in China. but he seemed to spend quite a lot of his time elsewhere.
Yeah, I forgot he was at Monaco.
Yeah, I did as well.
Yeah.
It's very interesting that normally Jim's a bit cagey and is a bit, I suppose, timid in this game. Whereas when I can't see him, when he's got a laptop in front of him, suddenly, bang, he's straight in there.
Show my working, though, haven't I?
Could I say, Jim, you know, amid a era when it's very, very easy to cheat, you starting off Yaya Toure with Beveren is going to cause the alarm bells to ring.
I've shown my working.
No, I've given you the point. I'm the adjudicator here. You've got the point. Can't take it away from you. Marcus, you're up next.
All right.
First, and he's played for 8 clubs, and it's Clint Hill.
Oh, bloody hell.
What's a tough one.
I can think of one.
That's a start.
I'll go 2.
Yeah, you're going to have to name them then. Yeah, I can only think of the
3.
One.
Nah. You can't do 3.
Nah.
I can't. Clint Hill.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
Queen's Park ahead. Rangers.
Correct.
I'm genuinely out of ideas. I cannot think of who the man. I'll say.
It must be so tempting to Google right now, Marcus.
Beveren.
Yeah. I'll go for Burnley.
Ooh. That's incorrect, I'm afraid. Oh. Jim gets the point.
So what
two
were
the
others?
3 to play, Jim. Tranmere Rovers, Oldham Athletic, Stoke City, Crystal Palace, Queen's Park Rangers, Nottingham Forest, Rangers, and Carlisle United.
Oh, Carlisle United.
So that's 2 to Jim. Jim, you're up first this time.
Okay.
He's played for 7 clubs. It is the great man. They called him Battergoal, Gabriele Omar Battistuta.
Oh.
I think I can go 3.
Nice. Marcus?
Oh, bollocks. Well, I'll have to go 4.
Jim, you want 5?
No way.
All right. Marcus, you got a name 4?
Fiorentina.
Easy.
Roma.
Correct.
Now, trying to remember that one in, I think he played in Qatar. Did he play for Al Sadd?
Is that your official one?
Yeah.
Incorrect, I'm afraid. It's another point to Jim.
3-0 to Jim. Jim's whitewashed me.
It was Newell's Old Boys.
Yeah.
Then River Plate.
I'd have gone for River Plate. I'd have won anyway,
Marcus. I was confident with River Plate.
Well, controversially after that, he went to Boca.
Oh, did he?
Ah.
And then Fiorentina, then Roma. Then he did a little stint on loan at Inter.
Oh,
then he went
a little stint.
Then he went to Al Arabi, Marcus, in the Middle East. So that's 3-0, but you can still salvage some pride, Marcus.
Which I very much need.
And obviously the listeners can play along as well. Jim, you're up first this time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you first this time, Jim? No, I think
it is Marcus now, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. It's 6 clubs, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And the player in question is Harry Kuehl.
God, bloody hell. Not being able to look at you boys has really hampered me here.
Well, that's a tough shit.
It is. It really
I'm
is.
Loving it. I'm loving it.
I'll go for 2.
All right, Jim?
Why not? I've won anyway, right? Might as well go for a third. A third?
Yeah. A third. Go for a third, Jim.
Yeah, I'll go for a third. So we got the obvious ones, which are Leeds United and Liverpool.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say Brisbane Roar.
Oh, incorrect.
Ah, yes, I got a point.
To Marcus. It's Leeds United, Liverpool, Galatasaray. Melbourne Victory, El Garafa, and he finished his career at Melbourne Heart.
Ah. Oh, well.
Okay, so the final one of the five. Jim, you get to go first. Chance to, it's going to be 3-2, or you're going to go a 4-1, the reverse of the fixture last time. Jim, it's seven clubs, and it's Michael Ballack.
Oh, can go three on that.
Yeah, same. All right, I'll go Marcus. Four.
All right, go for it. Jim, five?
No, I can't do five.
Okay. Bayer Leverkusen.
Correct.
Bayern Munich.
Correct.
Chelsea.
Correct. So Bayer Leverkusen, Bayern Munich, Chelsea.
And then there was a side in East Germany he played for.
Did they have a name, Marcus?
Yeah, they did. I've tried, because it wouldn't have been Leipzig. They weren't around then.
Is he just going to name every team here, Luke? You are happy with him doing this?
You've already won, you miserable
sod. Is it Nuremberg? Oh, could it be Hertha Berlin?
Stop it. Marcus, I need to hurry you for your answer.
You do. Oh, no. Kaiserslautern.
Correct.
Oh, get in there.
What a guess.
Oh, that's like one of that's like when someone scores a screamer that means
it doesn't
nothing.
Count.
Yeah. No, people won't remember that in years to come, but well, Jim, we are winner 3-2.
We talked about Odin Ighalo's goal, didn't we, Jim?
We did.
Exactly.
Good point.
Yeah. They won that game, didn't they? Crucially.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think all right. The best one was Klaas-Jan Huntelaar's volley for, I forget who, against Real Madrid. Schalke, I think it was.
Oh yeah,
25-yard volley and off the bar to make it 6-1.
Schalke. Yeah, there was a good feature on the Guardian website for a while way back in the day of the great forgotten goals.
Yeah,
I think that might have been in there.
All right, there we are, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go. That's it, isn't it? We're done.
We're done. We are done indeed. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. We will be back at the usual time on Friday morning with the preview show, although I appreciate it may not be a preview, but we will be back, don't you worry. Andy and Jules will be back tomorrow, so our kind of, you know, Ramble Football Ramble Daily operation does carry on, so stay with us, and we'll bring you some lovely entertainment, of course, in these trying times, so stay tuned, as they say. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Thank you both.
Thank you, listeners, and we'll see you very, very soon.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset. And we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.